You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everybody. As always, every Friday, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, you're going to be informed, entertained, and I think you're going to learn a lot more about yourself, actually, by the end of the show. Because you know what? I was really thinking about this, that the majority of us have low self-esteem. At one time or another in our lives. Come on. There's nobody who is a pretty normally functioning person who doesn't have it. But if you have some underlying feelings of shame or guilt, there's maybe something entirely different. Let me ask you some questions out there, guys. Do you feel like you're a people pleaser? God, that hurts me when I hear that, because here I am. Yes, been there, done that, you know. Do you find yourself taking care of others? Do you guys try to control situations and people in your life? Can't let anything get out of hand, because God forbid it might happen like it did when I was a child, and things are all over the place, and I don't know what to do, and on and on and on. You know, many patients who come into my office tell me that they're codependent. You know, that's a psychobabble buzzword, but I mean, it's a real for real thing. And, you know, they say, well, I think I am because I come off needy to my partners. Or my family tells me, God, you're so codependent. Or my friends. Well, that term has been around for almost four decades. And although it originally applied to spouses of alcoholics, first called co-alcoholics, actually, researchers have really found out that the characteristics of so-called codependents were much more prevalent in the general population than had been imagined. As a matter of fact, they found that if you were raised in a dysfunctional family or had an ill parent, you're likely codependent. And you should probably attend Al-Anon meetings. I mean, that's just what I'm saying. Most American families have issues. Come on now, think about it. Most of our families have got some issue going on growing up. Many of them are dysfunctional in some way or another. So the truth is that researchers have also found that codependent symptoms get worse if they're left untreated. You know, it just is. But the thing is that the good news, they're reversible. So you want to keep it here on the couch today, because we're talking about these codependent behaviors and thoughts and Al-Anons, as we call ourselves, and ways of coping in life. And my special guest today is Misty B, but I call her Misty Barnes because that's her name. And she's the author of the book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? I love the title of that book, Daily Meditations for Codependents and Al-Anons, with a sense of humor, of course, is what it is. Let me just introduce you here. Misty is a writer, filmmaker, recovering codependent, and writer of humorous books about life in recovery. And I don't know if you've heard of her. She's been around a while and helps so many people out. Her career in entertainment, producing live events, writing and directing for stage, TV, and film, combined with her upbringing and the lessons she's learned with what she calls her dysfunctional upbringing, provide so much information for her inspiring recovery stories in this book. And so you can learn a lot today. Let me encourage you guys, if you want to call in, if you have a question, please feel free to do so here live on the air. The number in Los Angeles, 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. If you want to email me a question, if you'd like to stay anonymous, you don't want to be heard on the air, you're a little shy, that's cool. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. StraightTalkDoc@gmail.com. That's where you can ask your questions, you know, if you'd like. Without further ado, let me introduce Misty right now. Thanks for coming to the studio. It's so nice to have you here.
Thanks for having me here, Michelle. Aww. I appreciate it.
What a great book.
Thank you.
You are funny. I love your sense of humor about all this. Because we do sort of have to, in some ways, I mean, lighten up a little bit. And that's part of, you know, healing as well, is if we can lighten up about a subject, right?
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that laughter is one of the easiest ways to heal. Doesn't make the situation easy. It's just that when I have a different perspective and I can apply some humor to it.
Right.
I think it was Carol Burnett that said, comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that's right. Exactly.
And it's
what
true.
A genius.
That's, well, thank you.
No,
oh,
it's
you
true.
Mean Carol.
See? You and I are going to get along great. And yes, you are too. How's that? So, you know, you said that's one of the reasons, you know, but there've got to be a lot of other reasons and, you know, sort of sharing your story a little bit about your discovery of what was up with me. Why was I feeling all these feelings? And so if you wouldn't mind, can you just share a little bit about your personal story that led you to writing this book?
Sure, absolutely. So I often joke that, you know, there are people who talk about their story as of the family that, you know, you would drive by the house and everything looked perfect and inside it was chaos. And my family was, you drive by the house, you know there's chaos.
Oh.
It was just,
oh, honey.
There was just a lot of, you know, there was a lot of craziness due to alcoholism and addiction. And
right.
I came out of the womb as a person who wanted to fix everybody and everything. And I did
bless
not realize
yeah.
how it had impacted me until maybe about 6 years ago. I mean, I have done all of the things that we do, therapy,
yes.
groups,
right.
you know, rebirthing,
yep.
a primal scream, everything. And I'm not saying those things didn't work. They all added to the collection of my experiences.
Sure.
But what I found was that ultimately inside, I had to deal with myself, the interior, and I wasn't able to do it for whatever reason. Something clicked in a recovery community for me.
Nice.
And as I was in it, I noticed that my particular groups, there's a lot of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
But as I traveled around and visited other groups, I noticed that there was just a lot of, I don't know, it's like a bunch of hall monitors in the room. You know, everybody was like
right.
watching everybody else and
right.
totally miserable. And I thought,
yes.
good God, how are we ever going to get better if we don't lighten up about ourselves?
Right. Right. It's so true. Yeah.
So I, during a time I had lost, when I got into recovery, I had lost my home. I had lost my car. I had lost my job and my boyfriend. Is there anything else we can lose? my sense of humor.
Yeah,
I lost
exactly.
my sense of humor.
Oh, sure.
And then I,
absolutely.
I got to the point where I started doing, you know, the deeper work. And so it's not as if I'm not representing that I laughed the whole time. I didn't.
It's
through coming on the other side of this that I had some of the humor. And when I found myself laughing, I went, wow, okay, I'm healing. And I just wanted to be able to give it back to people that are in the rooms of recovery. And, you know, you don't have to be an Al-Anon. You can be, well, if you're alive, I think you are a little codependent. It's just.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So
we all have that.
I don't claim that I have the prescription for everyone, but I think that even people who aren't in a recovery community will see themselves in this. And it's really about just looking at yourself with a sense of humor.
Exactly. Well said, Misty. You know, it's true because, I mean, a lot of people will say, who come to see me, you know, in my practice, well, I didn't have alcoholic or substance abuse parents. You know, there's like a defense. I go, sure, no problem. I understand, sweetheart. But there was a lot of chaos going on there, you know.
Yeah.
And you were this little soul who came into the world with wide eyes going, huh? What? How can I manage this chaos?
Yeah.
And, you know, don't you agree, Misty, that everybody, all the siblings, when they grow up in a home like this, sort of deal with the chaos in different ways?
Yeah.
And your survival skill was to try to, you know, control everything and be that person that made everything okay all the time.
Right.
And that's healthy for a while to keep the peace. But, you get older and we say, wait a minute, I have all of these characteristics that are kind of freaking me out a little bit.
Well, they're freaking other people out, really.
Yeah, no, well said, exactly, freaking
like,
me out.
It worked for a while. Then when it stops working, it stops working.
Yeah.
And that's what I found.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, thank you for being so candid about that, honey, and sharing
that.
So your book is geared primarily towards codependents, as we call them, and Al-Anons. So what's the difference? Because you're the expert on this.
You got me. I have no idea. Here's the thing. I'm not a medical expert, nor am I a mental health expert. I might be an anti-mental health expert, but I know what my experience is. You know, codependency came to the fore, like you said, quite a long time ago.
Yeah.
And with it came a lot of baggage, if you will. And I started doing some recovery work in that time, mm-hmm. when it was called ACA, Adult Children of Alcoholics.
Right.
And it was crazy. We were nuts. I mean, we had these meetings,
oh.
and everybody would be screaming at each other.
Oh,
and I thought,
gosh.
This is not, like,
wait,
normal.
It's home again. I'm back home again.
Exactly.
Right?
I think we were all recreating that.
Right.
So there were a lot of books that probably many of us read about codependency that really kind of opened the doors to it. But codependency has kind of become like, I say it's like a door-to-door salesman or a written letter. Nobody relates to it anymore. It's just
right.
kind of a hackneyed phrase that really
uh-huh.
means
uh-huh.
not much.
Uh-huh.
So when people say codependent, I don't think anybody really knows what
right.
it means anymore.
Right.
So I will kind of define what I think
yes.
it is, and then I'll tell you how that differs from Al-Anon.
Okay, cool.
So in my mind, you know, codependency is anything that takes you out of your relationship with yourself
mm-hmm.
and a higher power
mm-hmm.
or any kind of, you know, spiritual essence, and where you have, you know, people use terms like a lack of boundaries or you're controlling. And those are, in my opinion, symptoms of
right.
the bottom line
right.
problem, which is that it's a lack of an ability to have a real true relationship with yourself first.
Wow. That's right. And you go within instead of getting it all from out there.
Yeah.
You just can't really go within and,
right.
and find that ground.
And
yeah.
the things that we seek, the symptoms,
nope.
sometimes are other people. Sometimes they're work.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're, you know, alcohol. Sometimes there are many ways that we seek to fill that sort of void.
Right.
And for people that are codependents or Al-Anons,
mm-hmm.
which... another way maybe I describe it is like if you talk to, say, an alcoholic,
mm-hmm.
it's like splitting hairs to say, did you drink Jim Beam or did you drink, God, think of another, I don't know, I'm so bad at this, like what's another?
Smirnoff.
Smirnoff. Did you do Smirnoff or Jim Beam? It's really parsing,
right.
you know, it doesn't matter. The problem's still the same, right?
Right.
And the same thing with codependency, you can have a lot of symptoms. For me, the difference between that, say, and Al-Anon is there are recovery communities for both. For me, what worked was
mm-hmm.
the Al-Anon community, primarily because it's based and rooted in a spiritual, not that the other groups aren't, but it
yes.
really follows traditions and 12-step,
yes.
which worked for me as
right.
as the Al-Anon that I am, because I did grow up in alcoholism.
Mm.
I really identified with that.
Sure.
And I think the, again, the symptoms in both people's lives are the same.
Right.
Al-Anon is really specific to people who have had relationships with people who are either sober or still alcoholic
mm-hmm.
or just generally annoying them.
Yeah, exactly. You're so funny. No,
for
exactly.
me, 90%
right, right, right.
of the population.
Yeah.
So I hope that helps. But
no, it really does help.
Okay.
It explains a lot, and it makes, you know, makes a lot of sense. So there is a bit of a difference. If you're an Al-Anon, though, there, you know, you will have a lot of those so-called codependent characteristics.
Right.
You know, whatever they may be, what do they say, low self-esteem, people-pleasing, poor boundaries,
mm-hmm.
Overreacting to certain things,
mm-hmm.
caretaking, control, communications, obsessions. Oh, boy, I'm getting out of breath here.
Sounds like no, a lot of fun to hang around with, huh?
Yeah, it does. You know, it's like hanging out with myself here. Denial, problems with intimacy, painful emotion. And you know, you and I are laughing about this, but this is very serious stuff. And please, guys, we, you know, our hearts go out to you if you are, you know, coping with some of these feelings, many of them all, and have, you know, come from alcoholic mm-hmm. and or substance abusive family, mm-hmm. dysfunctional family. It is not a laughing matter. It's very serious, and you know, many times the abuse that goes with it is horrendous. So we suffer from many issues many
right.
times.
And mm-hmm. I don't want to take away the intensity of that because
mm-hmm.
I experienced it.
Sure,
and
you did.
I think that my hope, again, it's not just to make people laugh. It's to make them feel understood,
mm-hmm.
but to lighten it up a little because I think there are some people that can't always be reached.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when we just learn to kind of find a little bit of a smile or a snicker, or even if it's just a smile, you know, a slight,
yeah.
it gives us hope. So
sure,
my goal here is to offer people hope and inspiration. And I, you know, I, even as a kid, I used creativity in writing and, you know, I was that kid that,
yeah.
you know, while all the craziness is going on, I'm trying to write a screenplay. Like, you know, everybody get out of the way. I know you're unconscious, you're wasted, you're in prison, but like, I've got a play to do.
That's right.
I've got a play to do. You know,
that was your focus.
That's how you coped.
Good for you. So the creative channel. That's a wonderful way to do it. You know, I always encourage patients to do the same. Whatever their passions are, sort of try to focus. Well, you're dealing with your own feelings and trying to work through the dysfunction that you grew up with. Try to really focus and feel better. That's the name of the game, is going within. By the way, if you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. My special guest is Misty Barnes. She's the author of the book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? I just love that title, girl. It's Daily Meditations for Codependents and Al-Anons with a Sense of Humor. It's not just daily meditations here. What I find is they're really excellent tools to think about the way you think, to think about the way you behave, and how you might consider changing based on some of these real-life stories you share and your own, which is lovely. Mm-hmm. We appreciate that. I just want to thank my sponsor, one of my wonderful sponsors for today's show, Glow Soulware. Today's show is really featuring all their beautiful clothing online. You can check them out, glowsacredgeometry.com. The clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. When you wear Glow Soulwear, you feel a higher vibration. So lighten up and check out glowsacredgeometry.com. Very comfortable pricing and awesome colors and awesome designs on there. Check them out. I wear them a lot to the studio because it puts me in a higher vibration, and that's what it's about. Guys, in case you want to call in today, please do so if you feel like it. I'm getting some emails here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and we'll get to some of your questions here regarding Al-Anon and also codependency, but also the number here, 323-203-0815. And I've got Misty live in the studio, which is such a pleasure. Mm-hmm. So we talked about some of the thoughts and behaviors of the so-called codependent behavior. Would you mind sharing some personal stories?
Sure.
About your, Al-Anon and codependent behaviors that you experienced a little bit?
Sure. Mm-hmm. This I'm speaking a little more with a reflectiveness, but some of this I didn't know I was doing at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think, for me growing up in the situation I did where there was a lot of alcoholism and addiction, my response to life was to, like I said, fix. Mm-hmm. So that means for me, I was always focused on a goal. So success became sort of my first addiction, if you will. Right. I never had a substance abuse problem, but I always had a problem with people, places, and things.
Wow. Okay.
And I got to the point where I saw that success was the only thing that I thought could bring me value, so that I could prove the alcoholics in my life were wrong by the more success I could get. And then I found myself, in those situations on the red carpet doing the things that you do that say success.
That's
and
right.
I was absolutely miserable.
Right.
And unhappy.
Right.
Because without relationship, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
And I had gotten to the point where I, before I got into real recovery, my life just got so small. I didn't trust anyone. It was like I would go from one end to the other, and I think this is kind of a typical codependent Al-Anon. We're black and white in our thinking, and that comes from alcoholism, where we think I would trust anyone or I would trust no one.
Right.
And in one of my last relationships, and I say this with humor, but you'll see that how my thinking was really distorted because I was making everything up as I went along. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't have tools to really survive in life. I just barreled my way through everything in will of my own, just like I'm going to get it done. And I did.
Yes. Yeah.
One of my last relationships was with a dentist who also happened to be engaged to two other women at the same time.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's good. And was on the lam for owing, ruining a bright smile. I won't tell you what state because he might know.
Okay.
But, and then it's just like, I didn't want to peel the fantasy of who I thought this person was.
Sure.
So I lived in that, overused word denial. I mean, I really was the queen of it. Like, I would not face anything that didn't look pleasant or beautiful.
Right.
And
right.
I got to the point where I just was so controlling, and I didn't realize that I was working on a project, and all of the actors hated me. They hated me. But because I was so afraid of not making them happy, I didn't want to be hated, but I wanted what I wanted.
Sure.
So, I mean, these competing sort of viewpoints were like, I have to have everything the way that it needs to be. And at the same time, everybody has to love me, too.
That's right.
And if they don't love me, I'll make them lovely.
Oh, my God. No, that's right. And that was a Freudian slip. And that's true. You want to make them lovely.
Yeah.
You want to make, you know, you want to be lovely to them. And I think you're right. You're right on, girl.
Yeah.
But I mean, isn't that true? Isn't that interesting? We get into these dysfunctional romantic relationships. And then what happens is all of our friends are saying, go the other way. Run. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a dog or whatever. And vice versa. You know, same thing with many men I see in my practice. You know, I hear these stories about these women and I say, run. You know, but nope, there's complete denial. And when you hear something negative or you see something that's a little off or uncomfortable, there's always a justification. Yeah, but you know, he's so takes me out and we laugh a lot and, you know,
So, well, the reality that I discovered is that I was attracted to, again, all these catchphrases, but really narcissistic alcoholic.
There
men.
You go.
And the bottom line was that I wasn't able to be in the relationship. So I picked people that weren't available. So it's perfect to be able to say, well, look, he ran off with $1 million. What a scumbag. And everybody felt sorry for me. Like, oh, poor you, poor Misty.
Right.
But the reality is, if I had been available emotionally, I would have seen those things. So even when your friends tell you he's a dog, he's this, he's that, you don't want to hear it.
That's right.
So you're going to keep believing what you believe.
Exactly.
Until you don't anymore. Until you really go, wow, I want something healthy and good for myself.
Yes.
And that comes from the work inside.
Good for you. And I so appreciate you sharing this information with everybody so they can, you know, work on themselves, get a little humor, and really understand some of the behaviors that they've had for so long that really are detrimental and really ruining a lot of relationships. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something you said, you were walking the red carpet, and here you are, a really successful writer and producer and many things, author, spokesperson, and you just didn't feel wonderful and happy. You pushed for that success. You get it. Mm-hmm. You are getting it. And the thing is what's creepy about it is way down deep inside, those alcoholic parents or substance abuse parents or dramatic and erratic folks, they don't care.
No, they weren't there.
They don't care.
Physically, they weren't there.
That's right.
And they weren't there when all the other important things in my life happened.
That's right.
So I just kept creating. So I think in my mind, I kept creating bigger and bigger events. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
this will
I do.
Be big enough. This will be big enough.
Well, maybe this will impress them if I am up on the screen and you can see my name as the producer of this film. Mm-hmm. Right. Nope. Not going
to
work.
It's amazing to me, and it's humbling to me when I see how many people. You know, we're all just like 8-year-olds walking around doing the best we can. And it gives me a lot of compassion.
Yes, it
does. Even for the guy on the freeway.
Yep, that's right.
It's like, you know, he's really just an 8-year-old kid who probably is having a horrible day. I don't always react that way. But but when I think about it, like, that gives me some hope.
Yes, exactly.
And compassion.
Yeah, it sure does. No, it's kind of like you were talking about, the parenting, the parents not showing up for all of the success you've had. And, you know, I find this with a lot of celebrities who I work with. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough thing. I mean, it's not a prerequisite, guys. You don't have to be famous and have dysfunctional parents. But I mean, a lot of that striving and that goal orientation and success is because of the lack of, you know, getting kudos or love and pats on the back. It's like that that Austin Powers song, Daddy Wasn't There.
Right? I don't remember it, but I like that.
The first Austin Powers movie. It's hilarious. Or no, that was Goldfinger. It's really sad that I know these things, isn't it, Misty? God. In case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. I'm talking with Misty B. She's the author of If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? Classic, I've said it. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm guilty.
Yay!
Yay! Daily Meditations for Codependents and Al-Anons with a Sense of Humor. A really good book with a lot of great stories and the journey that Misty has found to really continue with her recovery and be such a healthy, loving person and help other people. So much of the Al-Anon teachings involve, of course, the 12-step program. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from. So I want to just sort of talk about, touch on some of these 12 steps, and sure, maybe it can clarify this for some of the people out there. So step one, in case you guys aren't familiar with it, it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. So how would that apply to someone in Al-Anon?
So, you know, and sometimes I amend that in my head. It's, we admitted we were powerless over people, places, and things, and mm-hmm, that our lives had become unmanageable. Mm-hmm. So for me, unmanageability, which still occurs today, mm-hmm, and I know not everyone understands that concept, and it sounds very, why would I want to be powerless? I've already been powerless as a kid, right, or I've already been powerless in relationships.
Yes.
And if you take it in the context in which it is within these steps, it,
yes,
makes sense.
Yes.
But I'll try to break it down to my best. I don't represent any group. I'm just sharing my experience.
Yes.
And that is that my life gets unmanageable whenever I'm focused on the alcoholic or other people, what,
yeah,
they're doing, what they're not doing,
right,
what they're saying, institutions. You know, I can get aggravated at banks for no reason. I'm like, I had an anger. I had a resentment against all,
yeah,
banks.
They
were like keeping me down, you know, like
yeah,
just
no,
something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so unmanageability in my life, it means I'm not present with the people that I'm with because,
right,
I'm thinking about the past or I'm in the future and I'm,
right.
So really what that step just says, I don't have control over anybody,
right,
but myself.
That's right.
Anything outside of me, outside of my hula hoop, as we say, if I focus on that and that's where my life is, you know, focused,
mm-hmm,
my life's unmanageable. I don't,
mm-hmm,
I'm not there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I mean, that's how I,
wow,
look at it.
You know, that I always tell folks, you know, who are always looking at the past or they live through the past and the drama and the pain and the, you know, or focused on the future and, mm-hmm, the, grandiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'm going to be famous someday. And,
mm-hmm,
and they may be. Good for you. Awesome. But I always say, you know, you can't drive when you're always looking through the rearview mirror. You're going to crash.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the way it is.
True.
So it's really good to be present.
Mm-hmm.
How to be present? You know, that mindfulness thing, the,
yeah,
here and now. What am I thinking? Where am I going? What am I doing? What's going on around me? Here, now. It's hard to do that.
It is.
Like meditation, yeah, you know, keeping in one place. Yeah. But,
yeah, and I think about it as like, where are my feet? That's,
yeah,
like
there
as
you
much
go.
As I can do. I can just go,
where are
my
feet?
My feet,
exactly,
are in this room right now. And
that's right.
It's where I am.
Yep.
So try to stay there.
That's right. And what's in the room? Who's, mm-hmm, sitting next? Look, mm-hmm, at that face.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at this lighting. Be now. It's hard to do, but, mm-hmm, that's a beautiful one, Misty. Mm-hmm. I really like that. Where are my feet? On the ground. Stay here. Don't go nowhere.
Yes, exactly.
You know, so we do have couple of emails here, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, some questions coming in. So if it's okay, I'm going to answer. You're going to answer. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to have you help me
Stop
out.
Stop telling me what to do.
Sorry. God, I just want to control so badly. That's why I'm on the air here. Anyway, this is from JJ, it says. And he says, hi, guys. I grew up with a mom who was always depressed and in bed.
Mm.
My dad was gone, not around a lot, just working. I am now called a mama's boy by my girlfriend. I tend to my mom still. She is still very depressed and sick, and I feel guilty. I want to control everything, and I'm very needy towards my girlfriend. How do I get out of this?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay, JJ, thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sweetheart, thanks for being brave enough to share that on the air. So, well, you know, Misty, you want to go with that one? Or
sure.
I have some ideas, too. So
okay.
Go.
I'm sure your ideas
you go,
are
girl.
Going to be great.
Mm.
You know, I just want to say, you know, I'm really glad that you shared that, JJ.
Mm.
That's really difficult to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I do relate to that. You know, there was a lot of depression and mental illness in my family, although it was masked by alcoholism and addiction. So a lot of it I share. And I think, you know, really, when I get the focus back on myself, and not necessarily in that selfish way that, like, it's all about me, but when I focus on where I am and what I'm doing, that really changes things. I would also like to say that depression is a mental, you know, it's a mental, a form of mental illness.
Yes.
I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying.
No, it's a chemical imbalance.
It's an imbalance.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
we cannot change that for someone
no.
else.
No.
We can be supportive. We can love them. But we
right.
cannot go down the tanks with other people. We can't go down the tubes. We have to create a whole and a separate life in and of ourselves. And when we do that, we'll be able to kind of create those, I hate the word boundaries personally, because it feels like, I don't know what that means, but sure. It makes you be able to say, you know, I can help you, Mom, here, but I can't help you here. This right. I can do for you, but right. this I can't. Right. And the same thing with your girlfriend. No one, I look at it like this way. No other person in my journey, I've made a lot of other people my God and my higher power. Mm-hmm. I made work. Mm-hmm. I made people. I made things. I made homes. I made, you know, shoes. No one right. else can ever be to me what I am going to be. And if that person left me, that's the whole point of the book. Yes. If you leave me, can I come with you? Mm. I have no self. So if you leave me, what am I? And I would say, JJ, you are probably an amazing man. You are probably a really good guy. Mm-hmm. And when you realize that and you're able to just take steps to be there more for yourself mm-hmm. and let that other person do what they need to do, just let them handle their own lives, you will start seeing differences. So I want to be real tangible and tactical in my response
sure.
to you. Like,
no, it's lovely.
You know, take time for yourself. Make sure you're doing the things that make you happy. Are you going to the gym? Are you exercising? Are you do those things first, then you can be there for other people. It's the old oxygen mask. You know, take care yeah. of your own oxygen mask before you help somebody else.
Exactly.
I hope that helps.
Yes, it sure did. How lovely, Misty. Thank you so much. And thank you, JJ, for sharing that. And it's lovely to have you with us here live on the air. You know, and I would also just add to that just a little bit, because you said it all, girl. I would add, I really hope your girlfriend is sort of tongue-in-cheek when she says, you're a mama's boy, in a loving, affectionate way. Because, and I sure don't mean to, you know, have doubts here or have problems, and I don't mean to do that at all. But, you know, you might want to check that out with her and kind of see where she's coming from when she says that. Is it about jealousy that you put a little too much attention into mom? You know, what is she really feeling? And you might consider yourself, I'm sure maybe you have, JJ, go into some personal therapy so you can get some work. And do go to Al-Anon yes. groups. Oh my goodness, in your area. You know, if you're not, you don't have to be religious, mm-hmm. but it will inspire you to get in touch with yourself. Mm. And you'll be able to identify with a lot of other people who have gone through the same thing. So,
thank you for that, Michelle. I didn't even think to say.
We
generally do. I don't promote it, but yeah. Finding a recovery community of people that are like-minded. And again, in these groups, you know, a doorknob can be your God. No one cares.
No,
seriously,
true.
You can be any right. faith or no faith at all. Yeah. But find people that are there with you and have been where you are, and they can share how they went through it. That's mm-hmm. what we get. We get tools to live.
We sure do. We sure do. And and if you have any other questions, guys, I do have a couple of emails that have come in on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and we'll get to those hopefully in a little bit. But what I'd like to do is continue on talking about Misty B's book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? It's about the Al-Anon communities, the Al-Anon thinking and the codependent thinking as well, which many times is one and the same. In step four, this is one of my, you know, this is for me the most difficult step because I think you have to get there before you can make amends to others. So it says, in so many words, we're to make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Yipes. So how did you do that for yourself? And what are some of the things you learned?
Sure. So I think people get tripped up on the word moral inventory. Moral.
Mm-hmm.
So they think it has some religious connotation or, you know, do good or don't do good. There's right. a judgment in that. But really what it is, it's just moral is, well, I don't have a dictionary nearby, but yeah. how I look at it is, it's just a complete and total inventory. They talk about right. how, like, if a business doesn't do an inventory, doesn't know where its profits and losses are,
right.
it's not going to be a healthy business. And that's the same thing with
right.
this. It's a look at yourself, a whole and complete look at yourself. So for me, you know, I didn't think I needed one. I thought, of course, I was the one that had everything together. If all these other people could just figure it out,
yeah,
life would be good. But how I did it for myself was I did it with the help of a sponsor. Mm-hmm. So we sat down and I really looked at my life. And so, for instance,
good
I
for you.
I found
yeah.
you know, growing up in alcoholism, that I had become a controlling personality.
Sure.
I had also, I was very judgmental. You know, my, both of my parents had an addiction, and I thought I was better than them, honestly.
Sure.
I really did. And I thought I was the stronger one, and I thought that I made better decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I was really judgmental of other people.
And
I, in a loving relationship with a sponsor that cared about me, I was able to look at those things and go, okay, so what? Mm-hmm. What now? And look at it through the prism of, this is who I have been. It's not who I want to be.
Yes.
It's not who I always will be. And it's just looking, taking stock of myself. And if we don't do that, we can't, we can't be in healthy relationships anyway. And are
so
always
true.
Blaming it on other people if we don't.
Wow, exactly. That's what a great answer. Thank you so much for that. Guys, you're here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest, Misty B. We're talking about her book, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? Can you call us if you want?
Please call me.
Please call me.
I'll give you a packet of gum and some candy if you call me.
That's right. Or email us, as so many have so far. Oh, straighttalkdog@gmail.com. I want to thank my other sponsor for today's show, AskARelationshipExpert.com. If you have problems, you can ask a relationship expert. It's the place to go when you need answers to your relationship questions now. Well-known relationship experts are ready and available to take your calls anytime. So when you can't get in to see your therapist, and you don't want to talk to your best friend because she's really tired of hearing it, you can talk to these experts day or night. You can get relationship advice, and these are well-known, well-respected experts. Again, one of ours is our very own former LA Talk Radio host, the ultimate matchmaker, Gina Hendricks. She's amazing. She's been on the show a lot. So you can give them a call. Check them out. It's AskARelationshipExpert.com. AskARelationshipExpert.com. And that number, ready, guys? 888-813-0293. All right, give them a call if you have a question. And we're continuing on here with answering some of our questions for our listeners from straighttalkdoc@gmail.com about being codependent, Al-Anon kind of folks, the growing up in abusive homes. This is a really good one from Melissa. She says, how can I forgive my verbally and physically abusive father? I'm 28 years old, and I'm still having problems, and I don't want children because I'm afraid of how I might act towards them. Thank you so much, sweetheart, for that sharing. And that's heavy. That's a tough one, because I think fear is a huge driving force to create decent, like you said, relationships, because you know they're not going to last, so because it's too scary. And especially thinking about having kids. So what would you say?
So, you know, I experienced that as well. And I think I had a lot of fear, too. Like, would I be a good parent? Because I didn't experience good parenting. Ultimately, what I would say, Melissa, is that this is your life. And you are a complete and separate person from your father.
Yes.
And that you get to make different choices. And, you know, not everyone is meant to have children. That's not necessarily, you know, a bad thing. So,
no.
I, you know, there's a lot of judgment in it, you know, if I can't have kids or I don't have children. But that's a whole other subject. What I want to say about the having experienced abuse and physical and emotional abuse is that we get to allow that we get to choose who we have in our lives.
Right.
And the way that I, you know, it doesn't go away. You know, there are things that happen in life that scar us, and we will never not have those scars. But what we will do is we will grow through them, and we will be able to give something back to other people. And I think to tell yourself that you're not whole and incomplete because of this makes it worse. So I would say kind of what I said to JJ, and I'm not saying it's a panacea for everyone, but I am saying get into a community of people that are that understand this. And I love therapy, I love therapists, but I also think there's something really healing about how other people that have been through what you've been through that
really
can share that experience with you. And just remember that you get to make different choices, and you can make different choices. You need tools, though. It sounds like you really need some good tools to work with and to start with. And I would recommend that you really start looking at how you want your relationships to look in the future and making those choices moving forward.
Yes.
And forgiveness takes time. Mm. It's not a one-time thing. It's something we do over and over again.
Oh my goodness.
There's something that we do actually in the 12-step community. I'm not saying it works for everybody, mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. I am saying for me,
yeah,
where you actually think about that person in the kindest way possible. You
yes.
think about that father of yours yes. as a little kid.
That's right.
And you say, I don't mean this right now, but I really wish you the best.
Yes.
I don't love you today, but maybe I will someday.
Yes.
And that breaks open. Like, it opens the heart up to even be willing. And you find yourself more open.
Yeah.
And it may take a long time. You know, I have some people I say prayers for that it's been 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But even more, I can open up and open up.
Mm-hmm.
And I will share one quick story.
Do I have time? I love it.
My own father passed away 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at the time that he died, he was not speaking to me.
Right.
And I don't know why. I don't know why.
Mm.
And I have continued in my recovery.
Yes.
And I had made a decision that even though he wanted nothing to do with me, and I don't know why, that I had to get my own life. You know, I had to choose
Absolutely.
To have my own life.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that I did, and I did not want to do it, but a person in my life that I love, my sponsor, actually
sure.
suggested that I just send him a card every once in a while.
Good
saying,
for you.
I wish you well.
Yes.
Now, some people would say, oh, you shouldn't do that because he's not, you know, whatever. For one reason, it spoke to me to say, just give him the love that you can. It can't
That's
be
right.
in person, but I'm going to send him these cards.
That's right.
And when he died alone. No one
sad.
In his home.
Very sad.
And when I went to the coroner to pick up his things, there were his keys, his wallet, and a card I had sent
okay.
him.
You're going to make me weep here. Okay.
So I just say that Whew. To tell Melissa,
yeah.
you know what? You get to choose. And
yeah.
you can only do what you can do today. Just do what you can today.
That's right.
To be the best person that you can be.
Exactly. Great advice, Misty. And thank you, Melissa, so much for that. And, you know, you're right. Forgiveness is really a journey. And mm-hmm. sometimes we never do completely. But you nailed it. You know, I always encourage patients to go back and, you know, possibly find out more information about that abusive, dysfunctional parents' mm-hmm. upbringing. And, you know, of course, the chances are they have the same, one and the same, or they have unfortunately inherited, you know, a gene, possibly, which is a medical problem,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's bipolar disorder, alcoholism, substance abuse of any kind. And then we can see these little children through identification of who we were. We see them as children, and we love that which they are and say, oh, my God. This is what, you know, the lessons I'm learning from the higher power about who they were, too.
Yes.
And I choose not to be who they were. I choose to move on and not die alone.
And ultimately, you get to the point where, and I didn't mean it for a long time, where you say they did the best they could. You don't mean it at first because you're like, I would have done it so much
sure,
better.
Sure.
But then you get to a point where you go, wow, that's all they had to work
that's
with?
That's all they had to work with.
They had like one chopstick.
That's right,
I had
right,
a whole bunch of chopsticks.
That's right.
If you're trying to eat with one chopstick, it's pretty doggone hard, you know?
That's
you
right.
You stab everything, you know?
The noodles are hard, you know?
But everything looks like a nail when you just got a hammer, right?
You got that right, girl. And no, it's really true. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and back, you know, I hate to say this, way back then in their generation, you know, they didn't have the tools we have.
No.
Although AA was back way a long time ago and started out, you know, and the wife of one of the founders actually got Al-Anon together. But I mean, it's, they didn't have the tools, and thank God we do.
Yes.
And we have people like Misty B, the author of If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You? That's a great book. It's
Thank
Daily
you.
Meditations for Codependents and Al-Anons with a sense of humor. But seriously, there are a lot of tools in this book which will really help you no matter what kind of dysfunctional upbringing you've had. And there really is a lot of encouragement to check out Al-Anon groups. You don't have to come from an alcoholic family or a substance abuse family. You have to come from, you don't have to come from anywhere. You can just go to the groups and help yourself out if you find yourself having some of these Al-Anon characteristics or codependent characteristics, you know, as we call them. So we're getting, oh gosh, time's flying here because you're it's so much fun talking to you. Is that right? So much fun talking to you here. I like one thing you said here. I like a lot of things you said, but there's something that just kind of jumped out. It was the idea that I don't have to wait until something has expired to let it go. Why do we hang on to things? Why?
I don't know.
I know. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the, you know, I'm just going to bring it up a little bit because in the book I talk about how I had a French laundrette powder that was really expensive. Yeah. And I didn't use it because this was how my brain was like, I'm going to save it for the better day.
And the better day
never comes,
sure.
Right?
No.
So I took this powder and I moved to Colorado with that powder and then moved from Colorado to Arizona with that powder and I never threw it away. And then I went from Arizona to California and I opened up that powder and literally it had expired like 4 years before. How does laundrette powder can't even expire, but it expires. But that gives you an idea of what my brain's
there
like.
There you go.
It's like, I'm going to wait for that perfect moment
day.
When everything's in line, and I'm going to use that laundrette
powder.
That's
some black and white thinking right there. Exactly. You ended up smelling like your great-grandmother's perfume.
It was like mothballs and Shalimar. You know what I mean? That scent.
Right. Yes, I do. So,
and that's what I learned in the work that I've done.
Hang on to things for that better day, No, now. It's now. Right now. Be in the present. Feel those feelings. You may not be feeling good today. Roll through it. Allow. Mm-hmm. That's one of my mantras. It's just allow it. Yeah. Feel it. You know, I have a friend who's, she's a psychologist. She's been doing it for 30 years in New York. And she's a really well-known practicing and does retreats for Buddhism, which is not a religion, by the way, folks. And she says to me, she's so funny. She always says, allow, when we're talking, let it go, be in the now, just feel through it. She says, you know, I'll say something about something's going on, and oh, gosh, this is tough for me. And she'll say, isn't that depression rich? You don't want your friends to say that. God, just indulge that rich feeling of sadness and depression. And I'm going, thank you, honey. Well, have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.
Which is right. Yeah, she doesn't sound like
the process. The process. It's a process. Embrace it. Allow it.
Yes.
If you don't feel like it, defocus for a while. Touch on it when you can.
That's a great one. You know, that helped me a lot because I used to think, like, you know, my mentality was if something, you know, flies away, you know, the whole thing about the bird flying away.
And yeah,
if you capture it, it wasn't meant to be yours. And I'm like, well, I'm going to hunt it down and kill it because it's mine. If that's what it has to be mine.
Mine.
You know, that's a great one. And I think that's what I've learned in recovery is refocusing. And I'm going to share with you specifically one of the ways that I refocus that I really think I feel a burning desire to tell you.
Okay.
Refocusing outside me.
Yes.
Refocusing on someone else.
Yes.
And in a way that's not, I'm going to fix them because, oh, this person needs to lose 20 pounds, so now I'll call them and help them out. No,
right?
I'm upset. I'm hurting. But one of the best things for me to get out of my own way is to help someone else.
Right.
It's just to be, even if it's just to smile at someone.
Sure.
Or be nice to them. Or call someone, you know?
Yes,
I know,
exactly.
Hey, how's your day? And get out of yourself.
Yes.
We are so self-absorbed in this culture.
Oh, so true.
The more we can just, it really lifts your spirits when you're helping someone else. And I think that's why these communities do so well is because we help each other.
Right.
I have somebody I can call when it's midnight and I'm scared. Mm-hmm. Vice versa, mm-hmm. when they call me, I am there.
That's right.
And that's what we're meant to do. That's what
it's
we were
really
created
true.
To do.
It's just the whole socialization theory. Mm-hmm. I mean, and bless his soul, but I mean, again, your dad didn't have the tools and he passed away alone. And, you know, you see that kind of thing, but that's all we have is each other.
Yep.
And that which we are inside and try to take care of ourselves. So, you know what? We're just about out of time, girl. So let me give listeners a way that they can find out more about you and get your great book. If you leave me, can I come with you? Yeah. What is the best way?
So it's published by Hazelden Publishing, and they're known for a lot of the recovery books. You can go on to their website, hazelden.org. You can also go onto Amazon and purchase it there. You can purchase it at bookstores. It came out September 1st.
Woo-hoo!
Very exciting last week.
Yay.
And it is called, again, If You Leave Me, Can I Come With You?
Yeah.
And Misty B is my name. You can also go onto my website, which is mistybwrites.com. That's Misty with an I. B as in boy, writes as in writing. On a book with a piece of paper, maybe not on a horse. MistyBWrites.com. And you know what? If you go on there, reach out to me. Send me an email. Yeah. I'm Misty@MistyBWrites.com. And I'd love to hear from people. So
awesome! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
And you're
what
an
a
angel.
Great book. So are you, girl?
Thank you.
Likewise, I'm sure, as we all say. All right. Take good care. And folks, again, if you did miss some of the show, you can punch it in, listen to a rerun. It'll be up in the archives. tomorrow, and I'll have more information about the show and what you can learn. And again, you know, give you Misty B's website so you can check her out. All right, guys, it's about that time. And as I always say, you know, you regulars out there, do take care of yourselves first. Then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. All right, be back next week. And, oh, we're going to get into your own stuff. I'm telling you, another great author next week to help you out. Self-help here. You can stay on the couch on LA Talk Radio. More great shows coming up next. Have a good one. Bye-bye.